We are on our way to study the book of Ephesians, but kind of been caught up in the history of Ephesus, establishment of the church, world history, how it relates to the Bible and confirms it, in my opinion. So we got into a little bit of that last week, and this week we're going to be studying the book of Acts, maybe some of the things that happened there at Ephesus during Paul's journeys. And then that way, when we study the Ephesian letter, maybe we'll understand what Paul was dealing with, what he'd been through. So I wanted to pick this up, Acts 18 and 2. And this is, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately came from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. So I just wanted to get those names there and where they were coming from. And then in 18 and 24, and a certain Jew named Apollos. Here, let's back up. Let's back up to 19. 18 and 19. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. So Paul had came there. He had had Aquila and Priscilla there with him. Let's just go ahead and back up and read that. I can't seem to get where I need to be this morning. So go ahead and go to 18 and 18. We'll read from there down. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. So he's got Priscilla and Aquila with him. They're sailing over, and he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. Typical Paul fashion. We see that happen a lot of times, don't we? Go into the synagogue. He has the He's the apostle of the Gentiles, but he always first tries to bring it to the Jews. So he goes into their worshiping house there and of the synagogue, and he tries to tell them about Jesus. In the 20th, when they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. And that's the Pentecost feast. That's what he's talking about there. He's saying that he's got to go. They wanted him to stay, but he wanted to go be with them there at that feast there in Jerusalem. But I will return again unto you if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. So we've talked a lot about that here lately, and in saying when we're going to do something, if it be in the Lord's will, if it be in God's will, if he allows it, then we'll be there. But a lot of times we'll commit to something, something comes up, and we're not able to meet that, then we're known to the world if we're not able to keep our word. So like what's been said, a lot of the older folks, they'd say, well, if it be in the Lord's will, we'll see you Sunday. Yeah. So that's where this comes from. In the 22nd, and when he had landed, so Paul's left, he's left Priscilla and Aquila there. He's sailing on, and it says that that he has plans to come back to Ephesus if the Lord allows. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up. Now understand this geography. Caesarea is just northwest of Jerusalem, way down, much further south than where Antioch is going to be. I should have brought her map out. But just notice this, that I've read over this a few times. I think we touched on this back when we studied some of Paul's missions. But when you read this, he says that he had landed at Caesarea and gone up. Well, in my mind, I'm thinking north-south. Not really what he's talking about. In elevation, you're going up to a city set on a hill there at Jerusalem. Because the next place he talks about is going down to Antioch. So let's see if we can find Caesarea. It's down in here. Jerusalem is just down in here. So he talks about he's sailing, comes to Caesarea, goes up, and he's referring to Jerusalem, although it doesn't say that, but where he'd said before he wanted to go to Jerusalem. And then what's the next thing it says is how he went down to Antioch. Pretty far apiece there. So when we're reading that, these maps help me.
We go from the house to Scottsville. We go down to Scottsville.
Amen.
And it's an over from the house. But we're going down to Scottsville.
That's right.
And but if you go to Bowling Green, you go up to Bowling Green. but you hear all these things.
Amen.
But it is Scottsville. Usually, you know, it's down in that little hole, I guess. So you get these.
Yeah,
it don't matter if it's north or south. It's just
yep.
How it's saying.
Amen. And a lot of times when it's referring to Jerusalem, it's always referring to it up on the hill. It's always referring to that. And even though, like I said, even though it doesn't say that there in the 22nd, we know that that's where he was wanting to go. That's where he desired to go. And it says that that they landed at Caesarea. Well, if he was going to go to Antioch, he would have sailed much higher up on the coast than where he was. But I believe without a doubt, because he said he'd gone up, and that being the Jerusalem, and saluted the church, and then he went down to Antioch. So that's another thing we've always talked about. When Paul gets done with his travels on each missionary trip that he went, he always came back to Antioch. He always came back to inform them where he'd been, what he'd been doing, because he was sent on their behalf. But the Holy Ghost had sent him and Barnabas, is what we can read here in the book of Acts. No doubt about that. The church allowed him to go, but he was sent from the Holy Spirit. And in 23rd, and after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all disciples. Starting in this 23rd verse, this is starting a third missionary trip that Paul would take out. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. So again, we're studying this, just studying the background of Ephesus and things that were going on and why that Paul would then come back and meet with them and then eventually be writing these letters, more than likely from Roman imprisonment as the prison epistles. But this man, Apollos, was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Mm-hmm. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Whom what Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And we may get into that in just a bit. But just recognize that Apollos, I believe, was a man of God. I believe that he had, he taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So in short, what he's not been made aware of is the coming age of the church. What he's not been made aware of is Pentecost and the things that would have happened after Jesus' crucifixion and how that many had been added to the church and the Holy Ghost. That's what he's not knowing. That's what he didn't know about because of his travel, because of his missionary work and his zeal. He wasn't around Jerusalem when all that happened. And now he's just being made aware of what had happened. And who has he been made aware of? Priscilla and Aquila, that was with Paul, that had left Achaia, which is the south part of Greece, come over on a boat with Paul, and Paul had left him there. Now, did he know that, or is that just the Lord leading him as he always was? Paul sent people, he drawed people, and I don't know that he always knew why, but he always had people with him. He was always giving them direction. We see that he left Luke at various places. He sent Timothy to and from. He sent Silas to and from. And all the people that we had read about going to these churches of Galatia and all these other places. So we know that Paul done these things, but we believe that he's just in contact with the Lord. And the Lord, I believe, allowed him to say, y'all stay here. I've got some things I got to do. And there was, because they were willing, the Lord gave them something to do while they were there at Ephesus. So that's what we're going to be picking up on maybe here in just a bit. And in the 27th, and when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, so this is Apollos now being able, led to go over that way, or being disposed of, meaning not thrown away, but just allowed him to go, saying, hey, you going into Achaia. Well, I think that may be on our map here. Yeah, Achaia is right here, meaning that's this whole southern Greece area. So from roughly about here down is considered that. You've got Corinth there, you've got Athens there, you've got all of this area. Again, thinking of maybe like larger states. You've got the entire continent, but you've got this state area, and that's this Achaia that they're referring to. So Apollos is going to Corinth. And I think in, where's that at, brothers? 1 Corinthians 3, maybe. That Paul had planted and Apollos had watered. So that's where this comes from. We can see Apollos now is going over there and going to work. So that's what's going on here. So he said, pass into Achaia. The brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. Now the brethren there, we don't know who all that may be. We know Priscilla and Aquila's there. Timothy may have even been there at that point in time. I don't know that. Pretty confident the church hadn't been set up, but there's brethren that's there, and who when he was come helped them much which had believed through grace, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Now, what scripture was he using? I guarantee it was not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those hadn't even been written yet, according to our history. He used the old Septuagint, the old first five books that Moses would have written. That's what he used. And again, how do you preach Jesus out of the Old Testament? He's in there from the beginning to the end, ain't he? Because that's what he used here, folks. And in the 19th, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. So they were again unaware of what had happened, the coming of the church age. Maybe even Jesus setting up his first church. So I just want to touch on that just a bit. So Matthew 3 and 11. I know this doesn't really much pertain to exactly Ephesus, but I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So they hadn't heard of this, have they? They didn't know what this was. So Paul is now doing his job to inform them. Now, we're going to pick up the Holy Ghost again. Mark 3 and 13. I can find my pages here. Mark 3 and 13. And he goeth up into a mountain. Oh, I'm sorry, this is where he set up the church. And he goeth up into the mountain, and he calleth unto him who he would, and they came unto him, and he ordained 12 that should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. So they didn't know of this. These men didn't know of these things, these happenings that were going on. And then, of course, the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. There's that Holy Ghost again, ain't it? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So those things they were not aware of. But now, specifically speaking of the Holy Ghost, we know that in Matthew 1 and 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So I wanted to relate this. Brother Jeff did a good job during our Bible study of bringing this out and of how that the church was given the Holy Ghost. Later on, we'd mention that book of John 14 and 16th chapter. But we know that the Holy Ghost was part of the Trinity.
Right.
That's God's way of giving these things, giving His one and only Son, Jesus, to the world. It was His way of giving the Comforter to the church. And that's what Apollos and them didn't know of. That's what they didn't have. So as we get back into our study, well, I don't want to miss these other verses. Let's go to Luke 1 and 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Luke 3, 21 and 22. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon them, and a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. That Holy Ghost comes down and gave us Jesus Christ here on earth. And in Acts 2 and 38, you want to turn over there. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So we get that gift because of, probably going to have to flip over here and read this. John 16 and 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, this is Jesus speaking, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove or make known the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So that Comforter is given to the church there on that day of Pentecost when that Holy Ghost come down. So when we are baptized into the church, that's the power that the church has, and that's what you are given, is that gift, that Comforter. Any thoughts on any of this?
You're in a deep water there. And I agree with you on all of it, but boy, it's hard for everybody to get a hold of that.
Man.
It's hard for me to get a hold of all of it, but
man.
I appreciate you bringing that part. The Holy Ghost has always been around.
Amen.
The Father, God, man.
Amen.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we know that. But the gift of the Holy Ghost, which Jesus said he would come to them in the 14th chapter.
Amen.
And he come to him on the way to the comforter, which he said is the Holy Ghost. And well, I appreciate you bringing out about the work God does here is through the Holy Ghost.
Man.
When Mary was conceived, Jesus is the Son of who? God. But God used the Holy Ghost for Mary to be conceived. You'll go over in 1 John, is it chapter 5?
I don't know, brother. I'll take your word for it.
The three bears witness here on earth is the Father, the Son, the water, the blood, and the Holy Spirit. Everything God does here is through the way of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's got a word.
Amen.
When the Spirit ascended on him like a dove,
amen,
come by the way of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, it did.
I believe that's for Jesus, myself, when he was baptized, and that Spirit come down and ascended upon him is where he was set apart to do the work. Because you don't find him doing no work,
amen,
before then. But when that happened, and I believe that's when he was anointed of God, and set apart by the Holy Spirit to do the work. And so I believe also for us to be in the will of God, to do the work way God has it planned for us to do, after you're saved, you need to unite with the church and be baptized, and then you're set apart to do his work. Until then, you're not in the will of God. You may be saved and you may go to heaven, but until you're set apart to do the work, I got on out here a while back. But that's a blessing. The priest, if you go look, the priest was all anointed. And Jesus being her a high priest, he had to be anointed. Now I'm thinking, where was he anointed? And they was anointed three times. David was anointed three times.
Amen.
And so I got to thinking about that. And we know where he was anointed once, the washing of his feet, he was anointed. He was anointed once when it was poured upon his head, the anointing was poured upon. But the third time, and the most important, is when God anointed him. And I think that's when he was baptized. And the Holy Spirit ascended on him like a dove.
Amen.
And that's what the oil represents, is the Spirit of God. And so God, in the fourth chapter of Luke, you'll find where Jesus quoted Isaiah. He said, I've been anointed to preach the gospel.
Amen.
And then that happened right after he was baptized. And so we've taken downplayed baptism to a point that trying to fight against it. If we don't need to fight against
Amen.
It, we really realize how important it is.
Amen.
It has nothing to do with you being saved, but it has all to do with you doing the work of
Amen.
God.
Yeah.
And that comforter to come in the way of the Holy Ghost, that was Jesus coming to us and being our head. We have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
For Corinthians chapter 2, and we have that through Jesus Christ in the way of the comforter and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I appreciate you, bud.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you're in deep waters, but you're handling good. I traded in them for a long time. I preach on this stuff. Y'all look at me like I'm crazy. And I get the word if y'all wasn't right. But if God shows you something,
Amen.
It's true. And if it's Amen. In the word of God, it's true.
God bless you, brother. Well said. Yeah, anyone else?
I probably muddied the water a little bit.
We've
done good
with it. No. Not a bit. The next verse is there, Acts 19 and 4, I think. So he said, then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Now he's not diminishing what John's job was. John had a job. His job was to go prepare the materials so that the church could be established there by Jesus. So he had to have repented believers, didn't he? He had to have that. If he didn't have those materials, then how are you going to then expect for Jesus to come in? And he could have, but it was all a plan for John to be a forerunner, because that was part of the prophecy of the Old Testament. There had to be a forerunner. The forerunner was bringing forth the materials. So that's what was going on here. So when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. And they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all men were about 12. So Paul had power that you're about to read about. If we decide to read through the rest of this, you'll see there in the 12th, it says, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So what power that Paul possessed, I believe him being a true apostle, that died out with Paul. I don't believe that anybody has that ability today. So just letting that be known, Paul had handkerchiefs that he was able to pull out and they could carry to these individuals and they would be healed. Now think about that. We don't have that ability, do we? But it said, when going back to the sixth, that when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them and they spake with tongues and prophesied. That was after they were baptized, wasn't it? So what Paul is showing here is this power of baptism. This when you're baptized and uniting there with the church, that now you have this comforter. You have this ability to pray on behalf of his members, his established organization that Jesus had set up there on the mountain that we'd read about. I still can't explain it, but when I got saved, I certainly didn't act like it for several years. Knowing that I was saved, but not doing the will of God. When I joined the church, it was as much powerful for me to present myself as a member, because he says we are to confess with our mouth. Profess with our mouth what the Lord has done. If you never profess that, if you never do these things, then are you going to be seen as a child of God? Absolutely not. Will you go to heaven? If you've been saved, you will. Yeah. But you've been just as salt that's lost its savor. It was of no use. He didn't get any use out of it. When you profess, you join the church, you put your light on that candlestick, amen, and you're baptized through what? Brother Jeff?
The authority of the church and the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You receive the power of that comfort.
Amen.
And that's awesome stuff when you become a part of his body.
Yes, it is.
And I believe then is when you can fully do the work that he has for you to do.
Amen.
At that point, you're saved, and you can be a witness, but you cannot do the work that he has you to do until you fully follow him.
Amen.
And, that is, he gives the commission to the church, and we got to understand that. You can go out and be a witness, you can do all these things, but you cannot be. And what you got blessed so much, the night I got saved, all I done was walk home, never told nobody about it. Kind of probably done by a few. I just went one night, day old. The next night I went back, and that's when I really got blessed.
Amen.
The night I got saved, I just got peace. The night I just stepped out and followed the Lord and united to the church and let people know and confess, that's when he really blessed.
Amen. Me. You know why? Because that's when he gets honor and glory.
Amen.
We've been saved by grace, but if you sit there and say and do nothing about it, not that verbally saying it has any power, but the confession, the profession, that's where God gets his glory. That's ought to be our wants and desires, for God to get his glory out of it. So Paul comes there to Ephesus, sees all of this going on. So we're going to kind of skip around here a little bit. And so Paul would leave. He goes on his trip. He goes on. There's several other works that happened there at Ephesus. He goes on his works back through Macedonia, and then he comes back around, and we may try to pick up somewhere in there. 19 through 11 through 21, several works there that had went on. And then, so he had went to Macedonia there after that. Paul comes back to Ephesus to Miletus. He doesn't actually stop at Ephesus, but what he does, he's in Acts 20 and 17, I think. We're going to pick up the bottom half of the 15th. So chapter 20, bottom half of the 15th verse. And the next day we came to Miletus. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia. For he hasted, if it were possible for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. So he's wanting to get back. This is years later. He had been at Ephesus for, I think later in this chapter, it tells you that he'd been there for 3 years. So he had went even beyond that. Now he comes back and he says, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying and the weight of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shown you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that, meaning except that, the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. So every city's been, it says when you get to Jerusalem, this is what you can expect.
Yeah.
But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Paul's saying, I did everything I was supposed to do. The blood ain't on my hands. He's went and told them about Jesus. He said he held nothing back from them. And he said, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this. Before I get to that next verse, do we recognize that? Over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, our jobs. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities, and to them that were with me, I have shown you all the things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him into the ship. So that's when Paul left, meeting with the brethren there at Miletus, met with the brethren of Ephesus. He warned them of things to come. So now, fast forward, another 2-3 years beyond that point, that he would end up in Rome and that he would be writing this Ephesian letter that he would send to the church there at Ephesus, churches there at Ephesus. So whenever we get into that, maybe we can understand, like we spoke about last week, all the gods that had been established, this, what was her name, Artemisa and Diana and things of that, that they were worshipped for thousands of years, or at least a few thousand, 1,000 every bit of it, that they were worshipped long before Paul had ever gotten there. So when they're when Paul is there establishing this church and it's taking speed and it's taking steam and it's building up, you can see why Paul would be really concerned about these ravenous wolves, it said, that some even coming within. So maybe that'll help us understand the book of Ephesians whenever we get into that. But any thoughts or any questions?
I know that like Jill said, what you're into is really, really difficult to really get a grasp on. But you really look at like Acts 1, it talks about where the Lord has done set up and established his church. And he tells his church, he said, John baptized you with water.
Amen.
But I'm going to baptize you, you know, with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And he told them to wait and to tarry at Jerusalem.
Amen.
Until they be endued or given a power from on high.
Amen.
So they had to wait there to the day of the annual Pentecost. And on the day of Pentecost, the church, already being established,
amen,
was one time submerged in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost came down upon the church and they began to magnify God. And they were given a power, they were given a gift. And that gift that they were given was the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Authority.
Yes.
And the church has the authority. A saved individual that is not a member of the church is not a part of that authority.
Amen.
It's that gift.
Amen. Amen.
Hard subject. You get a grasp upon you. You can't divide out the Holy Ghost being saved versus the gift of the Holy Ghost being given to the church.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well said. Anyone else? If not, we'll consider ourselves dismissed to say hi to our visitors.